Hello, sex fans, and welcome back. Today is Monday, March 21st, 2011, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge, with your host, that savagely scintillating sexologist, Dr. Dick. That's me. Hey, everybody, happy vernal equinox. It's the first day of spring, at least here in the Northern Hemisphere. I can't tell you how happy I am to see the end of winter. The Pacific Northwest is finally waking up to a new season, and there are loads of beautiful spring flowers, longer days, and warmer weather ahead, and all appears right with the world. Okay, so maybe that's a bit of an exaggeration. The world, sure enough, is not right for lots of people, including the sexually worrisome out there, don't you know? But that's why I'm here. This is my first Q&A show since Valentine's Day, so I have a bunch of very interesting questions and some snappy answers to dazzle you with today. This week's podcast is once again brought to you by DrDickSexAdvice.com and DrDickSexToyReviews.com. That's right, sex fans. Our sponsor today is me. You have to excuse this shameless self-promotion, but I wanted to call your attention to a standing invitation for everyone in my audience to support and underwrite these marvelous shows. I'm exceptionally proud of the quality programming I've been bringing you, my international audience. Over the last 4 years, I've presented a variety of extraordinarily informative, enriching, and entertaining shows, interesting interviews, enlightening Q&A, and even some fun product reviews. I mean, where else can you find this sort of diverse, sex-positive programming? And all of this always comes to you absolutely free. Okay, so right about now you're probably asking yourself, hey, Dr. Dick, how can I help support and underwrite this effort? Well, I'll tell you. Just mosey on over to my site, either one, DrDickSexToyReviews.com or DrDickSexAdvice.com, and look for the donate button. It's a blue heart-shaped icon. Click on it and make your contribution. Any amount will do. But those folks donating $50 or more will receive a swell thank you gift. Excellent personal lube, smutty porn DVDs, wonderful sex toys, or some delicious erotica. Be the first one on your block to join me in bringing the world this fun, informative, and enlightening programming. And now I'm processing donations via PayPal, so it's even easier than before to make a contribution. Before we turn our attention to my correspondence, I'd like to remind all of you of the toll-free lickety-split sex advice podcast voicemail hotline at 866-422-5680. The number again is 866-422-5680. Got a question or a comment? Want to rant or rave for a bit? Or maybe you just want to talk dirty for a minute or two? Why not get it off your chest and give Dr. Dick a call? No need to be shy, my friends, because this is voicemail. No human is going to answer your call, least of all me. And besides, calling the hotline will almost guarantee you a place in one of my podcasts. Okay, on with the show. Our first correspondent's name is Rod. He's 23, but we don't know where he writes from. He says, "Hi, I'm a guy, and I need some oral sex advice. What are some techniques people use to have oral sex on a female?" Alrighty then, Rod. Instead of me, who has no pussy, pontificating on the joys of muff diving, I turn to my number one friend of the lesbian persuasion, Joy. Now, not only does she have her very own pussy, she sure as hell knows her way around other pussies as well. I shared your message with her and asked her for her advice. I figure, if you want to learn how to do something right, you talk to a pro. Simply put, no one sucks cock like a good old homo, and no one gobbles clam like a dyke. Enough said? Okay, so giving a chick some head is about the most perfect sexual thing you can do for a woman, says Joy. It makes her feel so special. What woman doesn't groove on knowing that her partner finds her finger-licking good? And maybe that's a really good place to start this tutorial. If you don't like the taste or smell of pussy juice, give up on the whole idea that you'll be a fabulous lover. However, if you want to give this whole muff diving thing a try, but you don't know if you can handle your partner's smell, or she's unsure about you being down there thinking that she might be less than fresh, as they say in the commercials, you guys should start off by showering or bathing together. Many women prefer oral to intercourse because it has the potential to give her an exceptional orgasm. And for those gals out there who really need loads of direct clitoral work to get off, mouth to clit stimulation is one of the easiest and most enjoyable ways to make all that happen. Joy says, "The biggest mistake a guy can make with a pussy is diving in without knowing his way around." And like I always say, ladies, it's absolutely up to you to introduce your partner to your particular pussy. Remember, just because he's been with other women doesn't necessarily make him an expert on your lady parts, right? Get it? Got it? Good. The novice cunt lapper will do well to approach this amazing piece of human anatomy very gently, at least at first. If the woman you're eating out wants it more vigorous, she'll ask for it. So relax and enjoy. If all this licking and sucking isn't a turn-on for you, it won't be much of a pleasure for your partner either. So if your heart isn't into it, don't bother. I say the same thing about cocksucking. Life is way too short for bad oral sex. Guys, listen to the feedback you're getting on the job you're doing. If you're not getting feedback, ask for it. Just don't talk with your mouth full. Once you hit on something that works with the gal you're with, stick with it for a while, unless, of course, you're trying to drive her wild with some tongue teasing. Joy insists that a soft tongue and a relaxed jaw works best, and holy cow, she knows of what she speaks. She always starts out licking her pal from vaginal entrance up to her clit. She follows the outer edges of her pal's pussy along both sides, slowly at first, then more rapidly. Sometimes she'll even throw in a little raspberries. You know, vibrating sound you make when you force breath through your closed lips. Like that. Joy stands by this technique, don't you know? Sounds like so much fun. I kind of wish I had me a pussy myself. Hey, don't let your hands be idle while you're eating out at the Y. Gently press the two outer vaginal lips together, then run your tongue between the inner and outer labia one side at a time. Try poking your tongue into her vagina. The majority of a woman's vaginal nerve endings are around the opening and within the first couple inches inside. Target them with your darting tongue. Insert a hardened tongue into her hole. Try moving your tongue in and out, as well as in circles around the inside of her opening. Now, spread her outer vaginal lips with your fingers. With your tongue pointed, gently flick your tongue around her clit. Feel free to roam around in there, but keep coming back to her clit because it's the most sensitive area, just like your dickhead. You dickhead! Some women find the direct approach too intense. If this is the case with your woman, blow a stream of warm breath over and around her clit. This lightly breathy touch might just do the trick. Again, be sure to ask for feedback and then do precisely what she says. Once your partner is good and hot and juicy wet, Joy suggests you kick things up a notch. Spread her lips, expose her clit, and give it a quick little suck. If this hits the spot, you might want to lightly pull back her clitoral hood and repeat the quick sucking motion. Joy assures me that this feels incredible, and it's just the thing to do if you feel like tormenting your partner. Now, take her exposed clit into your mouth and gently suck on it, simultaneously flicking your tongue over and around it. This combined with fingering her hole will usually produce an intense orgasm. Keep your tongue and hands busy, flicking and massaging, poking and prodding, lapping and kneading. In other words, find out what she likes and how she likes it and let her have it just that way. Finally, Joy suggests you surprise the little woman by having a sugarless mint or an ice chip in your mouth while you eat her out. These can create very intense tingling sensations and will enhance your performance immeasurably. Good luck. Hey there, Dr. Dick. What is that toll-free podcast voicemail hotline telephone number you keep talking about? Why, it's 866-422-5680. Write it down. The number again is 866-422-5680. Okay, for the half a dozen or so guys who write in each and every month with a similar question to our friend here writing from India, I'm going to answer all of you at once. He writes, "Hi, my name is Pushpendra. I'm telling about my problem related to sex. I think I'm suffering from PE, premature ejaculation. And I had an accident when I'm 13, and I got a small cut just above my penis, so it's not erected properly. It's only straight, not 180 degrees. Please suggest me." I've written and spoken a lot about PE, Pushpendra. And here's what you got to do. Go to my site, drdicksexadvice.com. Look for the categories drop-down menu in the sidebar of my site. Scroll down till you find the therapy section. Now, look for the subcategory, lasting longer. You'll find loads of information in both written and podcast form. This is pretty much the kind of information you will find. The curious thing about premature ejaculation is what constitutes premature. That's very subjective. Some men report that they can only last a minute or two. Others say they can last 15 minutes, but all consider themselves as premature ejaculators. I'm not trying to suggest that PE is a figment of one's imagination. On the contrary, any guy who isn't satisfied with the control he has or does not have over his ejaculation may fall into this general category. In the same way, lasting longer, whatever longer might mean, is a relatively easy thing to accomplish. All you gotta do is work at prolonging the pleasure. Let's start with how you jack off, Pushpendra. If I had to guess, these sessions are speedy little affairs, right? A quick wank just to relieve sexual tension is a good thing, but if that's all the self-pleasuring you do, it will interfere with your partnered pleasure later. Look at it this way. If your body is sensitized to coming quickly, like jerking off, just to relieve tension, then that's how it'll respond later when you're with a partner. I suggest that you reevaluate your self-pleasuring activity. Most, if not all, of your masturbation should be dedicated to full-body masturbation. The object in this kind of masturbation is to play with the sexual energy or tension that develops in self-pleasuring and to delay your ejaculation for as long as you can. Here's how it works. As you become turned on, your body builds up sexual tension or energy. I want you to move that sexual energy all over your body as you stroke your dick. Touch and pleasure your whole body, feet, nipples, asshole, what have you. Make the pleasure last as long as you can. As you approach the point of ejaculation, stop stroking your dick and concentrate your play on other parts of your body. When the urge to come subsides, you can start to stroke your dick again. Do this over and over until you can last 30 minutes. By the way, some people refer to this as edging or edge play, coming to the edge of coming and then backing away. Get it? Got it? Good. The purpose of this exercise, I mean, besides the joy of getting off on your whole body, is to teach your body a different way to respond to cock stimulation. If you practice this method consistently, it will increase your sexual stamina when you are with a partner too. I also have in mind a swell sex toy that will help you overcome your premature ejaculation. I've discovered the ideal device to help you or anyone else who wants to last longer. As you may already know, I do product reviews on my site drdicksexadvice.com and drdicksextoyreviews.com. I post reviews of all kinds of adult products, sex toys for sure, but also condoms, lubes, fetish gear, as well as educational and enrichment videos. Well, among my favorite reviews is the granddaddy of male masturbation toys called the Fleshlight. You can read the review in its entirety by using the search function on either site and search for Fleshlight or Fleshjack. To make a long story short, the Fleshlight is, as I said, the male masturbation toy of unique qualities. Masturbating with one of these puppies has several advantages to your basic hand job. First, there is a delightful silkiness and a tight, consistent pressure on your cock throughout each stroke. In this regard, plugging a Fleshlight is very different from plugging any human orifice I know, but that's not a bad thing in this situation, mind you. Consider the guy who is dealing with premature ejaculation, for example. I'm positive that if he uses a Fleshlight to train himself to last longer, he will have more success than if he just used his hand. This is the ideal device for practicing delaying one's orgasm, and you can bank on that. Now, when you're having sex with a partner, do the same thing as when you're doing the full-body masturbation. Spread the sexual energy around. Don't focus on your pud. Concentrate on stalling your orgasm through the techniques you learned in self-pleasuring. If you're getting close to coming, pull out of penetration until you regain control, then insert. This is going to take some practice, but I think it's worth the effort. Once you've mastered this, there are other more advanced techniques that I can turn you on to. And if you are concerned about the amount of pleasure you can provide, short fuse or not, I always encourage the men I work with in my private practice to look to pleasuring their partners before they get warmed up themselves. But even after you come, you still have a mouth and hands and fingers and an imagination with which to pleasure your partner. So there's never any excuse to leave a partner unsatisfied regardless of your own sexual response cycle. Finally, regarding your erection, since I can't see your cock and I haven't a clue on even how old you are, I can't rightly offer an evaluation as to the adequacy of your boner. But if you can get erect and your erection works for you, maybe there's no problem at all. Good luck. Hey, Dr. Dick, what is that toll-free podcast voicemail hotline telephone number? Why, it's 866-422-5680. Don't be shy. Let it fly. Again, 866-422-5680. Next up is an exchange I had with a young guy from Down Under. Since I don't know his name, I'll refer to him as Oz Boy. He writes, "Hello, Doctor. I'm a 21-year-old guy, and my issue is a lot of the time I need direct touch on my penis to get hard. I don't always need it, but often I do, and that's been the main way I get aroused for as long as I can remember. My question is that a problem? Sign of some defect or flaw, perhaps? I've been to a doctor, done some hormone tests, and I'm okay. I get nocturnal erections. I've also dealt with performance anxiety in the past, and I feel that might figure into it as well. Any insight would be very helpful. Thank you." I don't see a problem here. Sounds like your equipment is working just fine. It does, however, sound like you simply need a bit more stimulation to get aroused. That's not a bad thing, by the way. Performance anxiety can and does interfere with arousal. I've written and spoken a lot about this on my site, too. There's a whole category devoted to just this one issue. Here's what you do. Go to my site, drdicksexadvice.com. Look for the categories drop-down menu in the sidebar of my site. Scroll down till you find the therapy section. Now, look for the subcategory performance anxiety. You'll find loads of information in both written and podcast form. Listen to some of the other podcasts or read some of the postings, and you'll get an idea on how I deal with this issue in my private practice. Here's a good example of what you'll find. Here's how performance anxiety works. Say a fella has a less than satisfying sexual experience for one reason or another. Before he knows it, he's replaying the incident over and over in his head, till that's all he can think about. The proverbial molehill becomes a mountain. He brings his anxiety to his next sexual encounter. His hyperconsciousness primes him for more disappointment, and he's ready to interpret all disappointment as failure. Well, you can see where I'm going with this, huh? His fears become self-fulfilling. Before he knows it, he begins to avoid sex. His relationships suffer. He begins to have a full-blown sexual dysfunction. And his self-esteem takes a nosedive. His preoccupation with his problems make it less likely that he'll be fully present during sex with his partner, which pretty much fucks up his entire sexual responsiveness and any hope of spontaneity. Performance anxiety can put a damper on a guy's sexual arousal by short-circuiting his sexual response cycle. This is nothing to fool around with, especially for someone at your tender age. When I see this sort of thing in my private practice, I always begin the therapeutic intervention by calling a moratorium on fucking of any kind. This immediately takes a great deal of the pressure off the couple. From there, we begin to rebuild the partnered psychosexual response one step at a time. We begin with sensate focus training and stress reduction and relaxation exercises. I have the greatest confidence in this method. It succeeds over 90% of the time. If you want to know more about these things, go to my site, drdicksexadvice.com. Look for the categories drop-down menu in the sidebar. Scroll down till you find the therapy section. Now, look for the subcategories sensate focus and or relaxation exercises. You'll find loads of information both written and in podcast form. Now, Osboy writes back a few days later and says, "Hello again, doctor. I have a few more questions about my situation. You said my requiring more stimulation to get aroused is not a bad thing, and I can see the reasoning behind that, but I'm scared that if I was to try to have sex with a girl my age and need touch, she would laugh and think I'm impotent. Is there a way to go about getting hard from touch in a sexual encounter that wouldn't be awkward? Also, is being like this really unusual, or are there other guys like me out there? Thank you." You know, Osboy, your fears of what might happen are getting in the way of you enjoying your sexual life. And there's nothing unusual about your particular predicament. So why not just shake off all those fears and anxieties and commit yourself to enjoying yourself regardless of what the situation happens to be? Performance anxiety is only a problem for those who have an agenda about how the sex should play itself out, or for those who expect the sexual encounter to prove their manliness. But those who are in it for the fun and pleasure are rarely bothered by this bugaboo. So I don't have a boner at the moment. Let's see what other kind of trouble I can get into with my hands, my mouth, and my imagination. And listen, there's nothing awkward about giving and receiving stimulation all throughout the sexual encounter. I don't see why you would want to eliminate this very pleasurable part of intimacy and partnered sex. Sounds to me like you need to rethink what you think you know about sex. And here's a tip. Sometimes people, women in particular, laugh and giggle when they're nervous, embarrassed, or self-conscious. If your partner laughs at your request, maybe she's just uninformed as you are about sex and pleasuring. If the two of you can get beyond this brief, awkward stage, you might actually learn something about one another's sexual response cycle and become much better lovers in the process. Why not give it a try? Good luck. Hey, Dr. Dick, what is that toll-free podcast voicemail hot number you keep talking about? Why, it's 866-422-5680. Again, 866-422-5680. Don't be shy. Let it fly. Finally, we hear from Rick, who's 56, writes from California. He asks, how is sounding done? Sounding is a kind of urethral play. It's called that because it involves sounds, a kind of urethral dilator. Why not mosey on over to Dr. Dick's stockroom and check out the sounds and dilators section? Look for the Dr. Dick stockroom banner in the sidebar of my site. You'll get an eyeful. Now, urethral play freaks out lots of folks. Most of us would equate having something inserted into our urethra for whatever reason with a root canal by a sadistic dentist, not something purposely done for the sheer enjoyment of it. You know, I'm always curious about how folks come to unusual fetishes like urethral play. One of my correspondents way back in July 2007, whose name is Georgia, wrote that her urethral play began when she was a child. When she asked her mother where babies come from, her mother said it was where pee-pee comes out. Now, Georgia looked down there and saw this teeny tiny hole, and she knew that having a baby was difficult and painful and thought, no wonder. So she decided she'd better try and make the opening bigger, and so it began. Another guy told me once that he was playing doctor with his older cousin, and when his cousin inserted a twig into his urethra, mimicking how he thought a doctor would take a patient's temperature, the guy said that the moment was so sexually charged, even as a boy of no more than 5, that his piss hole became an object of fascination and pleasure from that day onward. When I knew him, he was able to insert the bristle end of a toothbrush into his urethra. That bit of unsolicited information just about made me swoon into a faint back then. Even now, retelling that story gives me the willies. So, okay, I admit, this fetish isn't for me. But I am told by those in the know that because the urethra is such a sensitive organ, stretching it can provide exquisite sexual pleasure. May I turn you on to the podcast I did with porn star Lance Navarro? He is definitely into sounds, and he talks at length about it. You can find these very illuminating podcasts by using the search function on my site. Simply type in Lance Navarro and presto! Now, practitioners of this unique kink often start out young, like Georgia and the other guy I mentioned. Maybe it's just a function of some people's natural curiosity about their body when one day they discover their urethra. They toy with it, stretch it, and find it pleasurable. Once that happens, of course, it becomes like most pursuits of pleasure. It becomes a fascination, then a full-blown kink. If little accidental stretching is pleasurable, what about intentional stretching with one kind of gadget or another? Q-tips, thermometers, a ballpoint pen. Once these kids are old enough to do some research, they discover that there is an array of medical implements available to them, like latex and plastic tubing, catheters, and urethral sounds and dilators. Well, you can see how this could just grow and grow, pretty much like any fetish. Pleasure is curious that way, spurring us on to higher and higher heights. But like all pleasure-related things, practitioners ought to have their wits about them when they play with their pee-hole. I think it's ill-advised to be stretching your urethra with just any old thing that's lying around. You know, one's bladder and urethra are sterile areas, and one ought use only sterile equipment and procedures while inserting anything in there. And one ought to take time with this sort of play. Incremental stretching is advised. And the use of mind-altering or body-desensitizing drugs along with this activity is definitely not recommended for obvious reasons. Like I always say, safe and sane play is happy play. And here's something that you should know. The male urethra is approximately 10 to 13 inches long and has a J-shaped curve to it. The female urethra is much shorter, only approximately 2.5 to 3 inches long, and there is no curve. Therefore, a woman can stretch her urethra much easier and to a greater extent than can a guy. You'll find that gender differences often make for gender-specific toys. Good luck. Well, that's it for today, sex fans. Tune in next time for more Sex Advice with an Edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is Dr. Dick's Sex Advice and Dr. Dick's Sex Toy Reviews. Folks, simply put, I need your help to continue to provide these shows like the one we've just heard. But you may be asking yourself, hey, why should I make a donation? Well, I'll tell you. Infrastructure and administration costs for a free site like this are astronomical. So if you like what you see and here, if you enjoy all the wonderful features of DrDickSexAdvice.com and DrDickSexToyReviews.com, then I invite you to make a modest one-time donation online. We suggest a donation between $20 and $50, but any amount will be gladly accepted. This is a one-time donation. There are no automatic credit card renewals or processing fees, and you can be certain that every dime you donate will go to supporting this valuable sex-positive effort. Finally, your donation underscores your social conscience. Your sponsorship helps disseminate badly needed sex education and sexual enrichment messages throughout the entire world, just like today's show. So thank you in advance for your generosity. Until next time, remember, sex is good, and good sex? Why, that's even better. Over and out.